Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is tape number 74, The Qualifications of Elders and Deacons. The church described in the New Testament is the spiritual body of Christ. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Jesus Christ, says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verses 22 and 23, "And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." A body is a living organism. The church is divine in its origin, since it was built by Christ himself. Jesus told the Apostle Peter, after Peter had confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he would build his church, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The church is not only divine, but is also human, in that it is made up of human beings. Just as my physical body and yours is a living organism, so is the church which Jesus built. And also our bodies, though living organisms, have structure and organization. So also the church, a living organism, has structure and organization. The church is not simply an organization, but it does have organization. When the Apostle Peter wrote a letter to the church at Philippi, he addressed it to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul left Titus in Crete to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. From these passages it's seen that the organization of the church from the human side is that it is governed by elders, also called bishops, pastors, or shepherds, and that they are to be assisted by deacons. Of course, on the divine side, Jesus is its head. The New Testament is very clear in setting out the qualifications of the men who are to guide the affairs of the church. There are two separate passages of Scripture which give these qualifications. One is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. The other is found in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Let's look first at the qualifications of elders. Combining the two passages from 1 Timothy and Titus, it is easy to see that the qualifications fall naturally into three groups. Some are positive, some are negative, and some are special. With the exception of the special qualifications, these are qualities which every Christian should strive to attain. The negative qualifications are not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, not a brawler, not covetous, not self-willed, not soon angry. The positive qualifications include the following: blameless, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, one that rules well his own house, a good report of them that are without, a lover of good men, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word. The special qualifications are only three in number. They are the husband of one wife, having believing children, apt to teach, not a novice. These last qualifications show, incidentally, that although many people now use the terms elder and pastor to refer to the preacher, that these terms were not used in this way in Bible times. Although a preacher could also be an elder or pastor if he were qualified, it's obvious that preachers did not have to be married nor to have believing children in order to preach, while elders or pastors are required to do so. This is but another example of human changes which have been added to religion without God's authority since Bible times. It especially points out the need for a complete return to the direct teachings of the New Testament. The qualifications for deacons are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. They include the following: grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, they must first be proved blameless, the husband of one wife, ruling their children and houses well. These qualities set forth for both elders and deacons, with the exception of the special qualifications already mentioned, are the qualities which every Christian should be cultivating in his life. Perhaps it can be said simply that leaders in the Lord's church should possess them to a greater degree of perfection than others in the church.